जय कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधवा जय कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव गोपीजना वल्लभा जय गिरिवरधारी जय गिरिवरधारी गिरिवरधारी जय जय यशोदानंदना जय ब्रज जनरंजना जय यशोदा यमुना तीरावनचारी जय कुंज बिहारी जय कुंज बिहारी कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधवा जय कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव जय गोपी जना वल्लभा जय गिरिवरधारी जय गिरिवरधारी जय गिरिवरधारी जय यशोदानंदना जय ब्रज जनरंजना यमुना तीरावरचारी जय कुंज बिहारी जय कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधवा जय कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे राम हरे राम हरे कृष्ण Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Ram Ram Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare Jaya Prabhu Pada Jaya Prabhu Pada Prabhu Pada Srila Prabhu Pada Jaya Jaya Guru Dev Guru Dev Guru Dev राधा गोपीनाथ ललिता विशाखा की श्री श्री गौर निताय की श्रील प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की कलियुग पावन हरि नाम संकीर्तन की ओम अज्ञान तिमिरंधस्य ज्ञानांजन शलाकया चक्षुः उन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपक कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्री गुरोः श्रीयुत पद कमलं श्री गुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्री रूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमो ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినితి నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతే దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాదీ పాశ్చాత్య దేశ తారిణే నమో మహావదన్యాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రదాయతే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నామ్నే గౌరత్వషే నమః హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంత రాధా కాంత నమోస్తుతే తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరి ప్రియే వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపా సింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్త వృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ యత్ర నైసర్గ దుర్వైరాహాసః సన్ర మృగాదయః మిత్రాణి ఇవ అజితావాస ద్రుటరుత్తర్షకాధికం ఐ వెల్కమ్ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ యూ ఫర్ దిస్ ప్రేరణ ఫెస్టివల్ విచ్ ఇస్ ఆఫన్ లెడ్ బై హిజ్ హోలీనెస్ రాధనాథ్ స్వామి మహారాజ్ అండ్ గౌరంగ ప్రభు గౌరగోపాల్ ప్రభు అండ్ మెనీ అదర్ వండర్ఫుల్ డివోటీస్ అండ్ here I am given an opportunity to share something with you. Although I am very poor at presenting such lectures in a very mass assembly, but I was still inspired to prepare on this topic and speak today, because I felt this topic which I am going to share with all of you will personally help me in my personal life to learn the art of win-win while dealing with all kinds of people in all different situations in this world. So, in the course of my learning, if you found something interesting in this lecture, you may also pick it up. So, the shloka which I recited just now, it is from Srimad Bhagavatam, where Lord Brahma was watching Vrindavan Dham, and he saw something very amazing. He saw in Vrindavan the humans and animals, they have no enmity with one another. Imagine if a man is put inside a room with another tiger, either he will shoot the tiger or the tiger will eat him up. Either of the two will happen, isn't it? But have you ever seen a man and tiger sitting together like a man having a pussycat? That can only happen in Vrindavan. He says, where the animals, the birds, the human beings, they all are, they all have no enmity for one another. It is said, wherever people, they glorify the Supreme Lord, just like you all were singing the kirtan so loudly and feelingly from your hearts, so powerfully, it could be heard at the end of the road. So nicely. So if anywhere such kirtan of the Lord is done, there is no enmity there, it is said. Like you see, Lord Shiva has a big family. He has a bull carrier, but his wife has a tiger carrier. Isn't it? But the bull and tiger don't fight with one another. And his two sons, Kartikeya and Ganesha, also have peacock and mouse
as their carriers. And generally peacocks eat mouses. But they don't have enmity. In the same manner, Lord Shiva has a snake around his neck. And the snake and peacocks are also enemies. But in his family, nobody is having enmity. None of the Vahanas seem to be having any fight. Why? Because Lord Shiva is dancing in ecstatic love. You have seen him as Nataraj, isn't it? So he is so ecstatically situated, all the Vahanas are keeping their lower nature down. Because they are also delighting in the higher self, higher nature. So, where there is higher nature predominating in anyone's heart. So we have an angel inside us and we have an animal inside us. So when higher nature takes over, then the angel comes out. And when lower nature comes up, then the animal comes out, barbaric animal. So, why I told you about this angel and animal now? Because material world is said to be a competitive arena. Whereas the spiritual world, Prabhupada writes in the second shloka, Bhagavatam, first canto, 1.1.2, that the spiritual world is a place which is free from such competitive mentality. There everyone compliments one another in serving the Supreme Lord. Like in Vrindavan, when the sun becomes very hot one day, why should sun become hot in Vrindavan? Vrindavan is supposed to be very soothing and cooling and very sweet place. But the sun becomes hot so that everybody will get a lot of seva opportunity. When the sun becomes hot, then a puff of wind is passing and to go and reach out to Krishna and give him some nice experience, and Krishna and his friends. But then when the wind is going, Yamuna, seeing him, is asking, "Oh, my dear wind, are you going to Krishna?" He says, "Yes, please take some water particles from me." She is giving. Then he goes across the garden and the flowers are asking him, "Oh, my dear wind, are you going to Krishna?" He says, "Yes, take some pollen from our flowers. Let Krishna experience the fragrant pollen from our flowers. Otherwise, what is the use of our life?" So in this way, he picks up some pollen from the flowers, he picks up some water from the Yamuna, and he goes to meet Krishna in the top of Govardhan Hill along with his covered boys. And he's going round and round giving experience to Krishna, such a very soothing experience. And when Krishna is playing on the flute, because the cows are feeling great heat of the sun, Krishna is playing on the flute in order to make them feel nice. And all the cows are surrounding him. In the joy of experiencing Krishna's flute sound, the cows forget the heat of the sun also. But then hearing that the clouds which are far, far away in the horizon, they all come closer right above the Govardhan Hill to act like an umbrella. And they are drizzling also little water particles. So the cows are very happy and Krishna is happy, his friends are happy. Most importantly, the clouds are happy because now they can hear his flute sound more clearly and more nearer. And also they are thinking, we got a twin advantage opportunity for serving Krishna. On one hand, we are resisting the heat to come on Krishna's body. On the other hand, we are drizzling. And we are also hearing nice flute sound. So in this way, in Vrindavan Dham, everybody compliments one another in coming together and offering their best in Krishna's service. Nobody feels any inferiority complex there or insecurity. Because Prabhupada says in one lecture, the service rendered by Radharani and service rendered by a calf, Krishna takes it equally, he says. Just like the service rendered by a squirrel or Hanuman is often said to be similar. So, in this way, just like these five fingers, you see, they all are used for unique purposes. This you use for showing finger point on someone. This you use for challenge, isn't it? And you all know this finger is used for putting a ring. So every finger has a purpose. So although some finger may be small, it may be helpful when you feel itching in the ears. Very tiny. So every finger has some purpose, you see. Similarly, every soul, every living being in spiritual world has a purpose. And they are very happy offering some service from their part, you see. And they are very happily situated. They don't feel any insecurity or inferiority complex. They don't have to compete with anybody. They don't have to prove that I am better than you. So Prabhupada writes about the Vaikuntha thinking. I would suggest you, when you get time, you can go through this chapter, third canto, 15th chapter of Bhagavatam. Mandara kunda korabot palacham pakarna punnaga naga bakulam bujapari jataha gandhe archite tulasika bharane natasya yasmin stapa sumanasa bahumana yanti. It is said in the Vaikuntha, when all the different fragrant flowers like the jasmine, Nagakeshara and such kind of flowers, they are extremely fragrant flowers. When they all are in the garden, lending out their fragrance, Lord Vishnu comes there with his tulasi garland. And seeing the tulasi, all these flower plants are bowing down to tulasi. Although tulasi doesn't have a big flower, tulasi is not famous for any fruit also. Tulasi is of course a little fragrant, but not like these fragrant plants. But they all know that tulasi is very dear to Lord Vishnu, so they bow down. It is said. So in the spiritual world, Prabhupada says there is no envy between the living entities. All are bowing down. And it is not only with the plants, even the birds in the spiritual world, there are many sweet singing exotic birds. Like there is a verse in the same chapter, it says, Paravatanya Britasara Sachakravakadatyugaham Sashukati Tiribarhinamya Kola Halo Viramate Chiramatra Muchaihi Bringadipe Harikata Mivagayamane. It is said different birds like peacocks and the cuckoos and the parrots, they were all singing. These are considered royal birds. Very, very sweetly singing. And they were all doing Kola Halo. Kola Halo means loudly singing. At that time, a bumblebee, seeing them singing, he thought, I will also sing. I will also glorify Lord Hari with my singing. So he came into that garden. So he was singing in his own way. Zing. Let it buzz. But when they heard it, because he was glorifying Krishna, there was a lull. Lull means calmness. The parrots and the peacocks and the cuckoos, they became calm and they wanted to hear the glorification of the bumblebee, which wasn't that great, but still they were all hearing attentively. So there Prabhupada says, in spiritual world, everybody thinks others are better than me. Even a peacock singing, he thinks that this bumblebee sings better than me, he thinks. Although peacock singing, we all know how sweet it is. So this is one characteristic of the spiritual world. Everyone thinks other devotees are doing better service than me. They are more intelligent than me. They are serving Krishna in much better ways than me. I have to learn from them. Like that he feels. Everyone, they feel like that. So, everyone feels non-envious. And there is not even an iota of propensity for bhogavritti, sense gratification in the spiritual world. Everybody wants to engage in Lord's service. So this is Vaikuntha. And the material world is just the opposite. Because when we come to the material world, we are all living in material world, so we can see with our eyes how the material world is. Like in the 16th chapter, Lord Krishna says, he says about the nature of a materialistic minded person. Idam adhyamaya labdham imam prapsye manoratam idam asti idam apime bhavishyanti punardhanam. Such a materialist always calculates. Today I have $1 million, next year I'll make it $2 million. In 5 years I'll make it $5 billion, and nobody can beat me down. Asau hatamaya shatruhu, harishyecha paranapi. Oh, that one fellow seems to be my, rival. He is becoming close to my turnover. What I will do? Harishyecha paranapi. I'll finish him very quickly. Ishwaroham aham bogi, I am the great enjoyer. Siddhoham balavan suki, who is perfect like me? Like that he's saying. He's saying, konyochi sadrusho maya, he says. Ka anyaha asti sadrusho maya, like me, who is there in this world? Who is better than me? And in case somebody is better than me, I'll cut him down. That's what he says. And I will climb on the heads of everybody to climb the ladder of success. And nobody can come anywhere close to me. Krishna says this. This is the mentality, he says. And then he says further also. Ashapashashatairbaddha Kamakrodha Parayana. See, when I have first heard it, Kamakrodha Parayana, I thought one of the Vishnu Sahasranam names, I was thinking Parayana is coming. But this Parayana is not Narayana Parayana. He is Kamakrodha Parayana, he says. He is the worshipper of lust and anger, he says. Ihante kama bhogartam anyayena artha sanchayan. Anyay, you all know what is anyay. Anyayena artha sanchayan. He accumulates wealth by illegal means, he says. So in this way, this world is a world of cutthroat competition. Prabhupada says, this competition is rampant everywhere. A small fish is swimming in the ocean. But 10 miles behind, a big fish is coming to eat him up. And right now, right here, he can sense it. Because they have some sensors, with which they can sense that some big fish is coming. Small snakes are eaten by bigger snakes also. Like a fly is eaten by a frog, frog by a snake, snake by an eagle. So in this world, everybody lives in great fear. Like India, you know, India was under Mughal rule at one time. When Mughals were gone, British came. When British were about to go, some other fellows were trying also. Japanese were trying. Later Chinese tried in 1964. And some more fellows are also trying. It is one good thing about India is our India is a peninsula. There are big, big Himalayas, and anybody who comes into India have difficulty coming in very easily. Which is some large arrangement to protect the Vedic culture still. So the idea is, you will see, you know, there is always a fear that any time we can be under foreign subjugation. There is always, this world is such a place where there is a kind of competition amongst both humans and amongst animals. You have seen a hen, Prabhupada says a hen, small hen, while eating the grains from a dustbin or somewhere. While eating. You have seen that? They will see like that. Why? Because he is afraid some eagle will come and catch him by the neck and take him up in the sky. So he is eating, but there is also fear. You will see the fear principle is very prominent in all animals. Whether, like sometimes you find a pigeon is captured by a cat. So the tiger or the lion in the jungle, they also try to catch their prey. Sometimes the prey runs away very fast. Fortunately, your foot plate doesn't run away from you. Whereas for a tiger, when it has to catch a deer, the deer runs at a speed faster than the tiger. He cannot catch him. So, tiger has a fear. If I don't catch any deer for 2 weeks, I will die. He has fear. And the deer has fear that if he catches me, I will be finished. He has fear. So, everybody lives in fear in this world. So, that is why this world is a place of cutthroat competition. One can see that. So, and human life need not be cutthroat competition. It can be more happier the more one comes closer and closer to one's original nature. For example, the Vedic life, for example, eating, sleeping, mating, defending people could do peacefully without having cutthroat competition. For example, if you all know, all the Bengali Vaishnavas used to come to Jagannath Puri. You know, they used to come and spend 4 months in Jagannath Puri. Correct, no? So I was wondering, what about their jobs? What will happen in Bengal? If any company, you take 4 months off, they will throw you out. Isn't it? But they could come easily because in those days, you see, 3-4 months in a year, you take care of the cultivation of fields. Rest of the time, whole year, you have a lot of time with you. People had ample of time. I remember if you go to a village to meet a relative, it would appear to you that they have all the time in the world for you. You know, they will take you to temple, they will take you here, there, 3-4 days, they will spend all time with you. But in city, if you go to meet somebody, the first thing they see is the watch. You know, what time is coming? What time? And then they will ask you, kitne din ka program hai? Isn't it? That time only. So, people are very... Eating people do very peacefully in the villages, but in city you can see people eat fast food, isn't it? Their food only is called? The only problem is digest very slowly. Isn't it? So, that is our eating. And are sleeping, can we sleep peacefully? The company gives you a free mobile so they can wake you up at night. Isn't it? Yeah. And mating, like for example in Vedic life, the moment you marry a woman and you keep a kumkum on her forehead, then everybody else will look at her like a mother. Even if she is very beautiful, people know that if she is wearing kumkum, she is to be respected as a mother. Mataji. But when money becomes the goal of life, who cares for husband-wife relationship? People, for better money and better prospects and better career, people hop and jump from one partner to another. And that is how you find there is a fear. In those days, mother, father, when they would give a daughter in marriage to somebody, they will say, now problem is over now. Now you get married. And so nowadays, even after giving, you can't be sure whether or how long the marriage will go on. She may come back after 1 year or 2 years. So, all this eating, sleeping, mating, defending becomes animal-like, even in human body, to the degree we go far away from God. And the closer we come to God, you will see that our life can be much, much more happier. So, right now in the beginning I have introduced only one concept. What is it? Material world is a place of cutthroat competition, and spiritual world is a competitionless society with God in the center and all living beings complementing one another. So, in our ISKCON society, we talk about going back home. Even a small kid can tell you. You ask a small kid in ISKCON, what is the goal of life? Going back home, back to Godhead, you'll say. Very famous, everybody knows. So we all want to go back to Godhead, to that beautiful world where we can be happy forever, eternally serving the Lord. But while living in this world of cutthroat competition, the most ideal way of living in this world is win-win. Win-win means live and let live. That is the meaning of win-win. So win-win actually is in mode of goodness. If one can think I can always be concerned about the welfare of all living beings. Sarve janaha sukhino bhavantu, sarve santu niramaya, sarve bhadrani pashyantu, ma kashchit dukkha bhavave. So all the great kings in India, you heard many pastimes of many kings, devotee kings, they always are concerned about the welfare of all. So today there are going to be 10 principles. Krishna willing, I'll try be able to cover them all. These are all principles based on Mahabharata, and these three is like a take home message. In the beginning only I have told you. At the end I will again remind you. If we want to deal with anybody in this world, we have to cultivate this habit of win-win. Just yesterday, I happened to be coming in the train from Kanpur to Mumbai. So, we were having a berth in the AC coach. But the problem was, in the top berth, you cannot sit because the height is very short. You know, we want to sit and do japa, chanting holy name, but you have to chant like this. So, we could not sit properly. So, then we came down. We were wondering what to do. Everybody else was sleeping. So there was one gentleman sleeping on the opposite side, you know, seat. So, and that fellow was a long fellow, tall fellow, but he was bending his leg and sleeping. So then we requested him, sir, you are not able to sleep comfortably. Would you like to go up? He said, why not? Thank you for giving your seat. So he went to sleep up and he could stretch his leg freely on this side. And we sat on the other side, we could chant nicely. It's win-win, isn't it? So he was happy, we were happy. So, but if you have to ask a person to wake up from his sleep and go up, you can only do, provided, you know, you are thinking of the middle one, you see, mutual benefit. Heart that constantly seeks mutual benefit and satisfaction in all human interactions. So we tell him, sir, if you sleep there, you can be more comfortable if you go there. And he is happy to go. And then you got your comfort, he got his comfort. We could chant peacefully and sit and chant very nicely. So, we should think of mutual benefit, your benefit and my benefit, both benefit. Another thing, cooperative arena, we should see it as a cooperative arena. Don't see life as a competitive arena. Like imagine, I am not able to sit comfortably in the top berth, I come down and I shake him up and say, Sir, it is so much paining, my neck is paining in the top. Would you like to go up? So he will yell at you, why did you wake me up? Isn't it? So we have to see cooperative arena. Actually, the word which is used here, abundance and scarcity, if one sees that this world is a place where God has created enough for everybody's happiness. Like Gandhi made one very meaningful statement. He said there is enough in this world for every man's need, but not for one man's greed, he said. And that one man is Hiranyakashipu. Because that one man was not happy. Although he had the whole world was with him. He was a king. But when 5-year-old boy refused to chant, Om Hiranyakashipuve Namaha, that made him frustrated. So Gandhi said, there is not enough for one man's greed. But, so this world is actually a cooperative arena, not a competitive arena. Which means, I have enough for me, you have enough for you, we all have enough for ourselves. God has given enough. Not that if you get, then I cannot get. Not that if I get, then you cannot get. It's not like that. So, for that one requires a very udharati, broad-minded approach. Please repeat this verse after me. I am nija paroveti. Gananam laguchetasam. Udara charitanam tu vasudha eva kutumbakam. See, I am nija, this is mine, paroveti, that is yours. Making this categorization is lagu chetasam. These people are mean-minded people, he is telling. Udara charitanam, one who has a broad heart, big mind, he doesn't categorize like that. He says vasudha eva kutumbakam, the whole bhumi is our home, and we all are brothers and sisters in this family. Yeah? We are like one kutumba, one family, he says. So that is actually called abundance mentality. And you will see in this Mahabharata past time, it will become more clear as we proceed. So, and the other one is about commitment, which means to make promises and keep promise. See, honesty means to say what you will do. Integrity means to do what you have said. So which is more difficult? Huh? Integrity is more difficult. Both are difficult, but out of the two, integrity is more difficult. Honest means to say what you will do. So, to make a promise and then to keep the promise. That is actually called commitment. Like sometimes in India, you know, once an American lady had come to one of the IT companies in Pune. She was telling, "This Indian people, I have one problem with them," she said. "They are very humble and polite, but they don't keep the promise." She said that once she asked on a Thursday, "When will you complete the job?" Wednesday she asked her, "Can you finish it by Friday?" He said, "Why not, madam? We'll finish it." Because the American calls come in the evening in IT companies, you know. He said, "Yes, madam." And then on Friday evening she called up again and asked, "Is the job done?" "Madam, I have not even started the work," he said. "You haven't started? But why you said you can complete it?" "How can I say no, madam?" She said, these fellows are, you know, politely non-committed. So then your yeses have no meaning at all. If you say yes and you don't do the work. So this is problem with many people. They don't take responsibility for the words given. So there's commitment. So, like, see, Lord Ramachandra, he told his father, "I will go to forest for 14 years. Correct? So he went to the forest. There, after Dasharatha died, three widows, along with Vasishtha Muni, went to the forest to invite Ram back to come. Bharat went, along with Sumantra, minister, Guha, and all the Ayodhyavasis. They all went and called Ram back. It's not that Ram said, and they all said, "See, father told you to go to forest, you have gone for some time, but now you come back and rule, we all are calling you back." Ram could have easily said, "After all, what to do? Father has passed away, there is no one to rule, and apalog aise to bula hi rahe hain mujhe." Anyway, Kaikeyi herself is saying, "Come back, all three mothers have come. So I am ready to come back." Did he come back? No. He gave a vachan to his father and he kept it for the 14 years, you will see. So, whatever word we have given, to keep it and not go back. like one, two businessmen came together. They were having a land which was worth about 50 lakhs. And now they were wanting to sell it, and another man came and gave them 20 lakhs advance. And he said, 30 lakhs I will give in 3 months, he said. And then the property will be mine. They agreed. But in those 3 months, the property rates shot up. And it went to 2 crores. 50 lakh property became 2 crores. Then, within the next 2 months, the fellow came and said, now I'll give you 30 lakhs. Take 30 plus 20, 50, give me the property. Do you think they would want to give? No, the property has become 2 crores now. They told him, we will give you a 20 lakh back, plus 10 more lakh freely we'll give you. And that fellow knew why they are saying what they are saying. He said, I don't want money. You fixed it for 50 lakh, you have to give it at 50 lakh. So they were saying, no, nothing doing, now the rates have shot up. So people don't keep their word. This is the reason why there are problems in this world. People don't keep their word. So commitment means keeping the word. Like for example, Duryodhana promised the Pandavas, you finish your 12 years term and you have to be in Ajnatavas 1 year. If you are caught during Ajnatavas, again 12 more years you have to go to forest. Correct? So did the Pandavas complete 12 years? Finished. And in Ajnatavas period they were in Virat Desh. Isn't it? And Duryodhana could not detect. He searched all over the world. He couldn't find where they are. Because they were all hidden nicely in different types of veshbhush, you know. Even Bhima was in the kitchen. Draupadi was a Sairindri, like a servant maid. Nobody could detect. But when the 1 year Ajnatavas period was about to end, the Virat Raja's son, Uttar, he wanted to go for a battle because Kauravas somehow had some suspicion. Maybe Pandavas are hiding in Virat. Somebody told them. So by the time these Kauravas arrived there, that son of Virat was going for the battle, he became very afraid. He had taken Arjuna as a charioteer. But then seeing all the Kauravas, he became afraid. He wanted to take a U-turn and run back. At that time, Arjuna as a charioteer told him, a kshatriya should never run back. I will fight the battle if you want. And son of Virata laughed at him, you are a dance teacher. He was a dance teacher as Brihanala, no? How can you fight the battle? Arjuna said, do you know who I am? I am Arjuna. And then he showed him the Gandiva bow kept in the top of a tree, everything. And then that fellow believed. Then Arjuna told him, you become my driver and I will fight the battle now. And when Arjuna twanged the bow, dog, 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 when the sound came, then Duryodhana looked at Dronacharya. Very familiar sound. And Dronacharya looked at the watch and told him, sorry sir, yesterday the 1 year got over. Ajnatavas. Duryodhana, your suspicion is correct. Whatever you are suspecting is correct. But you are too late because Ajnatavas period is over now. Now, even though you have understood it is Arjuna, you know, you have to give the kingdom back. So did Duryodhana give the kingdom back? He didn't give. Did he keep the word? There will be no integrity. You see? And then he wanted to fight a battle meaninglessly. And the Pandavas are so people of such high character, they said, give us 5 villages and rest of it you can rule. Did you agree for that? You didn't agree for that. So in this way we can find the problems arise in mutual agreements and all because people don't keep the word. So in our lives we have to check these 3 things always. Do I have integrity to keep my commitment in whatever promise I make? No matter come what may, if I have made a promise I have to keep it. Is there a mutual benefit for me and others? Is it live and let live principle? And also, do I see life as abundance mentality or scarcity mentality? See, I am giving a few examples in the beginning to make it easy to grasp this subject. Like you see, sometimes parents are too lenient with their children. See, this mother is giving some 1,000 rupee note to the child. And the child knows how to ask the mother. Child is saying, give me, give me, give me. I want to eat chocolate, chocolate, chocolate. So the mother is fearing that if I don't give money, then that will stunt our love between mother and child. So this is called permissive parents. Permissive means, you know, they are very passive in nature. Passive means they go for lose win. I lose and you win. They say that my child wants to dance on my head, no problem. If I don't allow to dance, then, you know, then love will be affected. So some of us may be too soft-natured, we may easily bend. That is permissive. This authoritarian parent, they go for win-lose. She is shouting, how many times I have told you to do this? And she has already told 24 times. Already. So this is authoritarian parents, they go for win-lose. I win and you lose. So first was lose-win, this is win-lose. You have to hear what I have to say. Just do what I am telling you, without asking any question. And this is called win-win. See, the boy is telling, Mom, I want to go and play. She says, you can go to play, but you have to come back after 1 hour, okay? She is telling. And he is saying, till 1 hour you should not disturb me, okay? No, she is telling. So this is called win-win, we call it. It's called assertive. So all of you, for a moment, you ask yourself, are you aggressive, are you passive, or assertive? Aggressive means you take upper hand and you dominate. Passive means you allow people to walk over your head without doing any bargaining or anything. And assertive means, you know, you let others take what they deserve and you take what you deserve. Like that. Like Srila Prabhupada was in Mayapur Dham, and some of the Western devotees were also walking with him in the field. And Prabhupada saw one fellow was carrying a basket full of bendi, you know. And Prabhupada called him. He called him near and asked. So he told him to put the basket down and took that lady's finger and tried to check the quality by breaking the top, you know. And any of you know how to select a good bendi? Correct. Especially the tender one. Prabhupada checked whether it is old one or a tender one. He checked it. So the Western disciples, they were looking at each other. How he is taking a commodity and breaking it and the fellow is keeping quiet? Because they had never seen such a thing. They generally thought that you cannot touch any product unless you want to buy. And Prabhupada tried breaking 2, 3 and then it was very good quality. And Prabhupada asked him how much it is. So that fellow said, kilo 25 rupees or something. He said. Prabhupada asked him in 10 rupees. And that was another big surprise to them. He's saying 25 and asking in 10. And they both had a, you know, push and pull and they came to 15 rupees. And then the fellow asked, Swamiji, kitna kilo chai? Prabhupada said, I want the entire basket. He said, and he paid for it and then asked him to deliver it in the kitchen. So for the Western devotees, this came as a little surprise because they only had known fixed price in their shops, in super shopping malls and all this. So in this way, Prabhupada, when he would bargain, same thing Prabhupada did with Krishna book printing also with Jai Nippon Company, along with Tamal Krishna Maharaj. Prabhupada knew how to bargain. So this bargaining also should be made in such a way that we should not lead a big loss to the other person, only wanting to gain profit. Nor should we be such a fool that we get fooled by it. Like when I was in Jagannath Puri, I saw some boys were selling this Dashavatar. They said it's 100 rupees. So I was asking him, can you give me at 60 or something? And very easily he agreed for 60. And that gave a little, came as a shock to me. How he agreed for 40 rupees less so easily? I said, I will see some more sellers and then I will tell you. Then one another devotee told me that, Prabhuji, you will get this in 25 rupees only. Because this is only mold. This is not any made up of stone or something. It's only a mold. So, in this way, assertive means, you give them what they deserve and you take what you deserve. Which means, this win-win is actually interpersonal in our interdependent relationship with one another. So these are actually very mature parents who know how to deal in this way. So Bhishma Pitamah tells a story to Yudhishthira Maharaj in the Shanti Parva while teaching him Raja Dharma. He tells one interesting story on this same principle. He said, once a rat was living in a tree hole. His name was Palika. So the rat one day came out of the hole very carefully watching. And there was a cat whose name was Lomasa, whom you see there. So when the cat is out, the rat will not come out, generally. But on that day, the cat was bound by 3 wires, something like a copper wire. you know, on his neck, on his hip, on his back. There were three wires, and somehow or other the cat went inside that net to eat something and he got caught. He could not escape. So seeing this, the rat was very happy that the cat is stuck in the net. He can't escape. So let me go out and play. So he went to play out. And he saw the hunter had kept a lot of eatables. You know, several eatables. So the rat was eating and enjoying. Suddenly the rat looked up. He saw an eagle came flying there. And sat in the top of the tree branch. And the eagle was eyeing at the rat. So now the rat was very afraid. Because if he has to run back to the hole, while running back the eagle would catch him. Or if he runs away from the hole, then for eagle to catch him would be even more easy. If he runs into the forest, isn't it? And then the rat was thinking what to do. Then he looked at the cat, looked at the eagle. Then the rat immediately thought, I should do something to save my life because the eagle is going to capture me now, next moment. There are only a few seconds left. Immediately the rat had a dialogue with the cat. So the rat ran close to the cat and told him, he said, my dear Lomasa, you know, although you are fond of eating me, at this particular moment I have a request for you. Please do not eat me. If you save my life, I will save your life. You see, I have the ability to cut these steel wires in which you are caught now. And if these wires are not cut, the hunter will come and capture you and take you away. And he will finish you. So if you want your life to be saved, then you should save my life. First of all, are you ready for this deal? He asked. And the cat immediately agreed. He said, how wonderful person you are. I thought I have no way to escape my life. You are so kind that you agreed. And then the cat said, in this world, if somebody comes to help you without you having done anything for them, they are considered more noble souls than if somebody did something for you and then you reciprocated back. Because cat said, you are a better soul than me. Why? Because you have come up with this offer that, you know, I hide you and then later on, after you cut, you know, I will save you now and then I can do some service to you back and return. So the cat said, you are even more noble because that idea never came to my mind, that cat said. And the cat said, okay, come immediately, hide below me, he said. And the rat went below the cat. Now the eagle was watching. And eagle understood that now this fellow has gone under the cat and now I won't be able to catch him. He waited for half an hour and then the eagle flew away. So after the eagle went away, now the rat came out from the cat's body. And then the cat said, quickly, cut my wires and save me from my danger. And the rat was cutting the wires slowly. And the cat said, hey, why are you doing like this? You know, if you don't keep your word, you'll go to hell. And all Yamadutas will punish you. You know, because you have to keep your promise. I kept my promise and you should keep yours. And the rat said, when did I say I will not keep my promise? I am keeping my promise. Only thing is, you know, I have cut the first wire and the third wire. And the middle wire, I will cut at an appropriate time, he said. And the cat was doing like this. He was trying to... Because the middle wire was like this, no? He was trying to come. Because both wires were away. Only the middle one was there. So why are you not cutting this middle one? Free me immediately because hunter will kill me otherwise. And the rat said, hunter cannot kill you. Because when the hunter comes very close to the next tree, at that time I will cut this wire. And the cat said, why you have made this new policy? Yes. And the rat said, and the rat, you know what he said? He said, my dear cat, cats generally are very fond of rats. You know, I am your prey. If I cut the wire now, you will eat me up now. Cat said, no, I won't eat you. No, you say that. But after cutting the wire, what you will do, God knows. So he said, but when the hunter comes very close, if I cut the wire, at that time, your life is of great interest to you. You will climb up the top of the tree. And I will run into my hole. That will be win-win for both of us. And that's what precisely the rat did. When the hunter came to the 10th tree, 9th tree, 8th tree with a pack of dogs, the cat started shivering. He started giving lot of bad names to the rat. Because the rat's idea was, you know, if he somehow cuts me, I will pick him up in my mouth and I will climb up the tree. That's what he was thinking. But rat said, you say whatever you want. I will keep my word. And then when he came to the first tree, at that time, the rat cut the wire and cat jumped to the top of the tree. And then the rat went into the hole. The next day, after everything subsided, again the cat came down from the tree. And then meow, meow, he called for the rat. And the rat came not outside, but little close to the entrance and said, he said, Lomasa, what is your business here now? He asked him. Lomasa said, oh, I have come to again thank you for the wonderful service you did to me yesterday. And the cat said, I thought I can make friends with you, you know. Again, we both can be good friends. And rat said, what kind of friendship are you talking about? He said, you know, our friendship was only a self-serving, time-bound friendship. Because you were interested in your life, I was interested in mine, and we made a tie. And the business deal is over now. And now you go your way, and I will go my way. And the cat said, no, don't talk like this. You know, I feel so much great love for you. And I, you know, you don't understand. How can I kill anyone who has saved my life? You know, I am also a very noble person, all that cat said. And the rat was thinking, how to drive this fellow away? And then the rat told him, see, my dear cat, we can again make friendship next time when the hunter comes here, he said. As soon as he heard the word hunter, the cat ran away very fast. So Bhishma Pitama told this story to Yudhishthira Maharaj. And he said these important principles. He said both the rat and cat went for a win-win. Imagine in this scene, when the eagle came, if the rat was afraid of the cat, thinking that maybe he will eat me up, and he didn't go under the body of the cat. What is it? That means rat also will be eaten by the eagle, and cat will be captured by the hunter. So it's called lose-lose. Both of them lose. Isn't it? And in case the rat went under the body of the cat, and later after the eagle went away, he cut all the three wires, and cat ate the rat. So then what? It's lose-win. You understand? Now, if the rat went under the body of the cat and saved his life, so I was asking this question to a group of children. I asked them that, you know, okay, after the rat comes out, what you should do? Should he cut the three wires or not? So, some children told, yes, he has to cut all the three wires and leave the cat. Then I told, then cat will eat the rat, then what? Then the child was saying, oh, really? But how can I go back in my word? I have to keep my word. One child was saying, and other children said, no, I will not cut the three wires. They said, then what you will do? They said, no, I will run away, tell the cat tata and I'll run away. Hey, I said, this is not proper. Then you are a cheater. You are not keeping your word. And God will be upset with you, isn't it? So then some other children said, you know what they said? I will go into my hole and I will dig a hole from my hole up to the cat. And I'll cut the three wires and quickly go into the hole. Anyway, I was very happy that the children were very thoughtful, you see. So in our life also, we come across all types of people. Here if you see, the Kauravas and Pandavas, they had their generals, great generals. Now these 10 principles what you are going to talk now, we will see, they make it very clear what kind of... See the motivation for war. The Kauravas, what Duryodhana said, without war, we'll grant not a needle prick of earth. That's what he said. Whereas Yudhishthira Maharaj was fed up with the war. He said, we fight over a kingdom as dogs over a piece of meat. He said, are we dogs or animals that we fight for a kingdom? He was unhappy. But he did fight only for Krishna's pleasure, Pandavas. You see, Duryodhana did not keep his promise. By fair or foul means he wanted to get the kingdom. Whereas the Pandavas, you know, Draupadi was insulted. They were driven to the jungle for 12 years. And even after that they were ready to settle with 5 villages. And In this way we can clearly see that Duryodhana was totally unreasonable. So his motivation for war was to wipe out the Pandavas from the planet. You see? So, this is the first lesson we learned. All of you repeat. Jayastu Pandu Putranam. Yesham Pakshe Janardana. Make sure in your life you do the right thing at the right time under right guidance. So, they did the right thing, which was actually war. Because war was necessary to uphold dharma at that time. Because the Kauravas were unreasonable and Krishna declared that the war should be there. And it was the right time. Why? Because they finished 12 years of forest life, 1 year of Ajnatavas, they had done all their homework. And it's not that in the middle of the third year or fourth year they came and attacked saying that we want the kingdom back. Although Draupadi and Bhima were many times telling Yudhishthira Maharaj, Yudhishthira Maharaj kept his vow. So do the right thing at the right time under right guidance. Like Arjuna is being guided by Krishna, who is the father of dharma. In this way they were perfect. You see, these devatas and asuras doing the samudra manthan in the milk ocean. In that pastime also you find the devatas were guided by Vishnu. Lord Vishnu told them that during the samudra manthan many gifts will come, but you should not touch any of them. He told the devatas. Devatas said, okay, only when I give you should accept. They agreed. And then if those gifts are accepted by asuras and they take it and run away, you should not become angry with them. So devatas said, we will not become angry also. And the Lord said, you should not feel angry, you should not feel greedy. When the visha halahal comes, you should not be fearful. And you should simply obey me. If you obey me, at the end you will get amritam, Lord said. And devatas perfectly obeyed. You see, the asuras were not obeying. Initially the asuras were given the tail side of the Vasuki snake. And then the devatas were given the head side. Suddenly one asura said, we boycott, we don't come for this project. And Lord Vishnu asked, why, what happened to you? Ahir Puccham Amangalam, he said. The snake's tail side is Amangal. Then Lord Vishnu asked, what do you want? He said, head side. Okay, all of you go to head side. They were given head side. Then Lord asked the devatas, what about you? Can you catch the tail side? Devatas said, my dear Lord, whatever you say we will do. If you tell us to be on tail side, we will be on tail side. If you tell us to go away, we will go away. We are simply your servants. And now they caught the tail side. And when they were moving the mountain like this, the head side of Vasuki started emanating poison and smoke and fire, like that. When that came, then all the asuras became blackish with smoke. And one asura was scolding another asura, "Are you fool, we only asked for this." So in this way, when the asuras did not obey Lord Vishnu, they suffered in various ways. As you all know, towards the end, when Lord Dhanvantri brought that, you know, Amrit Kalash, you know, the asuras snatched it from his hands and they ran away. When asuras were running away, other asuras ran behind them. But then some asuras were like very mighty fellows, strong fellows, well-built fellows. So they are like the capitalist asuras. And the other thin asuras were there. They were like communist asuras. So the communist asuras were sitting in one corner and they were telling the other capitalist asuras, "Are sabko bandkar kana chahiye." Happy log, you guys are taking and going. But the mighty asuras said, "No, might is right." But both these asuras, mighty ones and the weakling ones, they never talked about to whom does this amrit belong to. Because both communists and capitalists are rejecting God and taking the opulences of the earth and enjoying it themselves. And the result, we know what happened? Lord Vishnu, the same Lord Dhanvantri Vishnu, he is coming as Mohini Murti, he came. As a beautiful young girl, walking with her Nupur, chal chal, she was walking. And all the asuras turned around and saw, who is that? And they saw, and she was, you know, we say Tirchi Nazar, we say, you know, like sidelong glance. She was looking at each asura one by one, she was saying, and all of them thought that I think she wants to marry me. And they were all... So, And then the leader of asuras went and gave her the amrit. You take it. And you distribute it to all of us. She said, I am a woman walking alone. You don't even know who I am. And you are giving it to me. And I will do whatever I want. Is it all right? They said, do whatever you want. No problem. So, they lost all their good intelligence. And the same Vishnu, what he did, he gave all the amrit to the devatas. And after distributing all the amrit devatas, and all the asuras were waiting, and they got nothing. And Vishnu, immediately Mohini Murthy turned into 400 Vishnu form. And Vishnu looked at them and smiled and he went away. That's all. So, at the end of the chapter, there is one shloka which says, they all did the same project. The timing was same, the goal was amrit, everything was same. But the devatas won. Why? Because of this principle. That one should, in this world, while acting, we should not walk the wrong path. We should actually walk the path of God. See, success means working within norms and depending on the blessings of superiors. This is success. So the devatas worked within norms, as Lord Vishnu told them. But asuras didn't work within norms. They tried to cheat Vishnu, and in turn they themselves got cheated. Dyutam chalayatam asmi, Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita. And second one, you see, what happened when the Pandavas are in the forest? Karna went on a countrywide mission, and he fought with various kingdoms, and he got a lot of men and money. He got some wealth. But then, fighting with various kingdoms brought about enmity of the Kaurava race with many other kingdoms. They created many enemies. And in the war also, they lost a lot of manpower and money also in those 12 years. But you know what Pandavas were doing in the forest? Arjuna went to heaven and got some celestial weapons from Indra and came. And Bhima once went in the Himalayan range when Draupadi asked for a 1,000-petaled golden lotus, you know. For that he was going up in Himalayas. He saw an old monkey was sitting with its tail, you know, across the road. And Bhima was feeling uneasy. He said, how can you put your tail across the road? I have to walk ahead. Take away your tail. And the monkey said, I am so old, you see. Now I don't think I can take my tail away. You take it and throw it on the side and you go ahead, the monkey said. And then Bhima tried to pick up the tail. The tail was as heavy as a stone. It was very difficult. He couldn't even move it also. Then he looked at the monkey and said, tell me who you are. You are not an ordinary monkey. And the monkey smiled at him and embraced him and said, I am your brother, Hanuman. He said, so Hanuman is Vayuputra and also Bhima is Vayuputra. They both are brothers. And then they both had a good laughter, how Hanuman tricked him like this. And then Hanuman said to Bhima that I will occupy your flag in the Kurukshetra battle. And when you fight the battle, I will give out a war cry and defeat the spirit of the enemies. So in this way, Bhima got Hanuman's support and enhanced strength. And also Yudhishthira Maharaj, you know what he did? He also acquired various teachings from rishis and munis in the forest. And from Chitrasena, Gandharva, he learnt dice game again. In case again he is called for a game in future, he can very easily win. Now Yudhishthira Maharaj became a great champion now. In this way, they all were focusing on how to improve that area of weakness. So this is the one. Turn your weaknesses into your strength. Which the Pandavas followed. In fact, they were not making enemies. Rather, they were strengthening themselves. And also, you know, Kauravas, you see, they had a centralized power system. And they had very few allies. Like when Gandhari became married to Dhritarashtra, they got one Gandhara race man, who is a Shakuni, brother of Gandhari. And then they got Sindhu, Kamboja and all this. But you see the Pandavas, you know, Vatal Kingdom, Panchala Desh, when they married Draupadi. And Krishna's sister, Subhadra, was married to Arjuna. So Dwaraka support they got. Sahadeva, who is Jarasandha's son. This is Sahadeva and Vijaya married Magadha they got. Chedi they got, Nakula married Karanmei. So which means all the Pandavas married different kingdom people. And they got all these allies. They even got Rakshasas when Bhima married Hidimbi in the jungle. Nagas through Ulupi's marriage. So in this way they got several allies. which means they made powerful allies. That means making friendships with many. How it will come to help, you cannot say. Like you all know, once a lion in the forest was sleeping and a mouse disturbed him. And the lion became angry and he got up, he took his paw and about to hit the mouse. And the mouse requested him, "Sir, sir, please don't kill me. I promise you, I will be of help to you in future." So later on, when once the lion got caught in a net, that time the rat cut the net and helped him. So we study this type of stories in the LKG, UKG we study. But they have a very deep meaning also. In general, we should not make enmity with anyone in this world. It is there is another story. You see, in Hitopadesh and S.O. Fables, Prabhupada would quote these stories. Once an elephant was walking on a road and some ants were crossing. Thousands of ants were crossing. They were all going in a row very nicely. And the elephant could have crossed over them and gone. But you know what the elephant did? He looked at the ants and laughed at them. "Look at you, how small you are. And look at me, how great I am." He pounded on them. And the ants cried out. And the leader of the ants immediately announced curfew to all the ants. "All of you, run into holes." They all ran away. And the leader told the elephant, "Wait and watch what we will do." And the elephant said, "You guys, you will do something to me. What can you do, you tiny ones?" He laughed and went away. But one day when the elephant was sleeping, the leader ant entered into his ears and then went and they started biting. So when he bit inside the ear, suddenly the elephant got up waving his ears, started making sound very loudly, and then got up and ran very swiftly. All the people reported to the king. King told the mouth, "Kill this elephant. He has gone berserk," he said. So just one small ant could cause the death of the big elephant, you see. So the lesson we learn is, make allies, don't make enemies. See, Kauravas had only one head at a time. That is why Karna said, "As long as Bhishma is heading, I will not come to the battle." Correct, no? Karna said. Whereas in Pandavas, you know what they did? They divided the army and they made all of them commanders. Virat was Matsya Desh commander, Panchala Desh commander, Magadha Desh commander. They had many commanders. And then they made Drishtadyumna commander in chief. Arjuna was supreme commander, guided by Krishna. So in this way, the Pandavas distributed the leadership instead of keeping it with only one person. Whereas in Kaurava race, you know what they would do? As long as Bhishma is there, he would lead. When Bhishma is gone, put Karna. They were changing like that. So share your responsibilities. So that is the lesson. See, in Kauravas, Bhishma and Karna always used to have quarrelsome talk. Bhishma and Shakuni also had problem. Shalya Bhishma. See, it's like bees and mosquitoes put in the same jar, they said. Many of them, you all know Karna and Shakuni had a quarrel in the battle. Verbal. Whereas the Pandavas, if you see, they had a huge respect for Krishna as a Supreme Lord and Yudhishthira Maharaj as Dharma Parayan. He was actually a follower of Dharma, Dharmaraj. And they had a great faith in competence of Bhima and Arjuna. Everybody knew that Bhima and Arjuna are unbeatable. And then they were all close relatives and brother-in-laws and father-in-laws. So they had the relatives' affection also. So three things they had. Respect for Krishna Yudhishthira and trust in the competence of Bhima Arjuna and also affection for the relatives. So because of this respect, love and trust, Pandavas won. Yeah, respect, affection and trust within a team is vital for success. So if you are forming a team, one should have respect for the leaders of the team like Krishna and Yudhishthira Maharaj. Affection for one another within the team. And the trust in the competence of the top people leading the team also. So, in thinking win-win, this I already told you before, that we should have abundance mentality, not scarcity mentality. And spirit of... I can go another 5 minutes? 4 minutes. So these things which I told you before, these are the three qualities. I already told you, keeping commitments is integrity, And maturity means courage versus considerate. That means we should be courageous to express our feelings and convictions to others, but we should be considerate enough to listen to others also. What is others' opinion? And that is actually called maturity. It's a balance between the two, boldness and sensitivity. And the abundance mentality is non-envy. So these three, if one has, then one is considered to be a man of high character, a person of high character. Now, see this chart. Some people are very bold in expressing themselves, but they don't listen to anyone. So that leads to lose-lose. But if somebody is extremely courageous, they go for win-lose. Similarly, somebody is too considerate, they go for lose-win. But for win-win, both have to be high. We should be, not only we should be empathic in listening to others, but we should be able to present our feelings and convictions to others. Then it is win-win. Like you see here, in the Kaurava side, none of the four generals wanted the battle at all. Why? Bhishma had a soft corner for the Pandavas. Drona said, I will only capture Pandavas, I can't kill them, he said. And Shalya, you all know Shalya's story, right? Shalya was coming from South India, Madras towards Kurukshetra. At that time, in one place, he was very thirsty, hungry, his horses were also tired. Suddenly, he found some pleasure bungalows, where they gave him nice food to eat, beverages to drink, and horses were taken care. He went and slept in nice soft beds and everything. When he got up next day morning, Shalya said, what a wonderful reception. And then he said, how can I not give my life and soul, life and body to those who have taken such good care of me? As soon as he said this, immediately Duryodhana jumped from behind and said, my dear uncle, all these facilities are provided to you by me, he said. So Duryodhana was very good in PR. Very smart. Cunning PR. So he had such a good public relation. So he told Shalya that, my dear uncle, just now you gave a word that you were very satisfied and you wanted to serve that person and it's me, so you should come to my side. But Shalya said, but I am coming to join Pandava's side. Duryodhana said, nothing doing, you have to join my side. So forcibly his uncle was taken on his side. So Shalya said, oh, you have done this to me. Now at the momentous hour I will turn back. So that is why Shalya purposefully quarrelled with Karna. And he quitted the battle. You see. In this way, Pandavas had a soft corner in the minds of many of the Kaurava leaders. And Karna said, I will only kill Arjuna, no one else. Everybody had their individual motives in Kaurava's side. But here if you see Pandavas, they had a common goal. If you see, everybody had a target. Drishtadyumna will finish Drona. Shikhandi will finish Bhishma. Satyaki will finish, like that they had. Arjuna will finish Karna. And Bhima will finish Duryodhana. Everybody were given an individual target to finish. But then their individual target was aligned with the team's goal, ultimately. So this is the point. Individual target should become one with the team's goal. Then everybody can win, see? This already I told you, commitment. You see, Bhishma gave away his secrets to the Pandavas and he told them how to kill him. Drona told, when Drona's son Ashwatthama died, then Drona gave up the battle. He didn't fight. And Karna several times ran away from the battle also and he gave his kavacha and kundala and all in charity. He gave. So they didn't keep commitment to their army, you see. And Shalya kept on insulting Karna while in the battle. So they both had a tussle. So it was not a good, there was no commitment. The other hand, if you see Pandavas, if you see the commitment, Abhimanyu, you all know, 7 Maharathis had to attack him to finish him when he entered Chakravyuha. And he took a big part of the army with him. When he, Kadavgaja finished half the Kaurava army, even while dying. And Yudhishthira Maharaj, he fought with Karna and he bleeded profusely, still he fought the battle to set an example. And Krishna promised, I won't lift the weapon, but he lifted twice. You know that? Once he lifted the wheel, you know this one, you know, when he saw that Bhishma is showering profuse arrows. In this way, on the Pandava side, you find the commitment degree was very high. They kept their word. See, this is a very interesting statement. The best man for a job is not one with best capability. but one with best commitment. Somebody may have capability but not motivation. But somebody is committed. The committed person is less strong, is even better. He's saying. And then they had right managers. Krishna, the greatest crisis manager world has ever seen. Yeah, isn't it? And on the very first day of the battle, Yudhishthira Maharaj went and met all the Kuru elders and sought their blessings. And Arjuna also sent two arrows which went and kissed the ground, two arrows in front of Dronacharya and in front of Bhishma. And Duryodhana was watching, what is this? Their very first arrows are coming and, piercing the ground. Dronacharya said, you see, they are offering obeisances to Dronacharya and Bhishma. In this way, commence always with blessings from superiors. You all know Hanuman, when he climbed up the Mahendra Parvat to cross over and go to Lanka, he folded his palms and he prayed to Surya Dev because he is his spiritual master, Guru. He prayed to Vayu, who is his own father. He prayed to Lord Ram, who is his object of love and worshipable supreme. In this way, he sought blessings of everybody. Then he said, Jai Shri Ram, and he jumped. So, like that. See, Kauravas were always in ivory towers. Always they were in royal comfort, whereas Pandavas, they lived in poverty, they lived amongst rishis and learnt many good lessons. They lived amongst poor people in Kuru Panchala, during their exile time. And they were in touch with poor brahmanas and people like even potters and sannyasis. And they were meeting people of different races like Rakshasas, Gandharvas, Apsaras, Nagas. They were in touch. Which means they were actually in touch with ground reality. Whereas the Kauravas were not. Actually, what is the second meaning? Accepting different ideologies means, don't see only from one point of view. Learn to see from various points of view. Because if we are attached to only one point of view, we tend to become fanatical. But if you can see from different, for example, when there are even debates and arguments between people in one ISKCON temple, one congregation devotee went and told the president of the temple that, I want to do a Ratayatra in 30 lakh rupees. And the president said, hey, why do you want to do such a big Ratayatra? You bring 30 lakh donation and I'll give you 5 lakh out of that. And do a small Ratayatra and 5 lakhs. 25 lakhs temple can have because you have to run the temple. So that devotee said, oh, you're not allowing me to do a Ratayatra according to my desire. So then I'll cancel the plan. So he cancelled the plan. 6 months passed and the GBC came to the temple. And the president was telling that this fellow wants to do a 30 lakh Ratayatra, Maharaj. I told him the temple is badly in need of money. Then this GBC sannyasi was very intelligent. He called for that grihastha and said, I want you to do a Ratayatra in 30 lakhs. It will be nice, a very opulent Ratayatra. And that fellow started dancing in ecstasy. My guru is telling me to do a Ratayatra in 30 lakhs. Very nice. And the guru said, so I would suggest you that you collect 60 lakhs. And then 30 you give it to temple and 30 you can do Ratayatra. Of course, that fellow was a rich fellow. He himself put 20. He put 20 lakhs and then he collected 40 lakhs with the help of other congregation. So he gave 30 to temple and 30 he spent for Ratayatra. So, and the guru was telling him, that the president, that you should never choke people who want to do some service. You should actually encourage everybody. And he knew the art of engaging that congregation devotee and also benefiting the temple, both. So why I told you this example, in our life also, many times due to adamant, one-sided argument, we may sometimes not be able to arrive at a solution. You understand? No? So that is why he is saying accepting different ideology also means not only seeing from one angle alone. Like for example, some people like to do mass preaching. Some people want to do quality preaching for a few people. Sometimes two devotees have a heated argument on which is better. This one should be done or that should be done. Actually, both have their own place. And we don't have to have a competition. We can have both. Like this is a golden jubilee year. In Pune, we did one festival called Drishti Festival. We called Gauranga Prabhu and Gaurakopal Prabhu. They had come. So we had 20,000 youths. So we did a mass program. And that has its own charm. And then you do a regular weekly program where regular devotees come. So sometimes we hold on to one ideology and we have heated arguments. Some people say, Ayurvedic treatment is the best treatment. Another fellow will say, allopathy is very quick. Ayurvedic is very, very slow. And this fellow will say, Ayurvedic Dhanvantri, Lord Vishnu only came and gave. Your allopathy, you know, is all concocted by modern man. So allopathy people say that, yeah, ultimately Krishna says, Aham Sarvase Prabhuva, including allopathic medicine also has come from me only. Everything in this world has emanated from me, including allopathy medicines also. So in this way, they have a heated argument. So one devotee went to Prabhupada and asked, Prabhupada, what should we do? Should we go for allopathy or Ayurvedic? Prabhupada said, just do the needful. He said, needful means, you go for Ayurveda, but sometimes Ayurveda doesn't work, it's taking a long time, then put some allopathy. So Prabhupada was unnecessarily not wasting time. So we should know how to learn to see from different ideologies. Cooperate and share in a mood of brotherhood, he says. And one amazing thing, if you see in Kauravas, Gandhari gave a lot of good advice which was not heard by the Kauravas at all. On the other hand, in Pandava's side, Kunti was the authority. You see, Yudhishthira Maharaj said, whatever my mother says is dharma to me. And then Draupadi had a big role in all decisions. One example I have given in the next one. See, this is a scene where Draupadi's five sons were killed by whom? Ashwatthama. After that, Arjuna captured Ashwatthama and brought him in front of Draupadi. Krishna told Arjuna, kill this Ashwatthama because he is an aggressor. Bhima told, kill him also. So Bhima and Krishna were on one side. But Draupadi saw Ashwatthama tied up and she made six arguments she gave why Ashwatthama should not be killed. This is the argument she said. She said, after all, he is a Brahmana. You should not kill a Brahmana. Release him. Dharmyam. Nyayam. Then she asked Arjuna, is it Nyayam? He is the son of your teacher, Dronacharya. How can you kill the son of your own teacher? It's not Nyayam. And then, Sa Karunam. She said, the wife of Dronacharya is living still. Her name is Kripi. She is living, but she is still living because her son is supposed to protect her. Ashwatthama is supposed to protect her. If you kill Ashwatthama now, then who will protect her? So have Karuna, she said. And then she said, Dharmam, Dharmyam, Nyayam, Sakarunam, Nirvyalikam. Okay, you want to kill him and punish him now, but by doing so, you will bring great suffering to the family of your guru. So while doing one dharma, don't break another dharma. That is Nirvyalikam, she said. And then Samam, she said, already I am crying that I have lost my five children. Why do you want another woman to cry that she has lost her son Ashwatthama? Only a woman can understand the heart of another woman, she said. So don't kill him. And then finally, Mahat, she said to Arjuna, I am desiring your welfare. Don't act in such a way that the Brahmanas will curse you. Don't get Brahma shap, because you are a great Kshatriya. Don't commit a blunder in your life, she told him. So after hearing the six arguments, Yudhishthira Maharaj appreciated Draupadi and said, I am also going to take side of Draupadi, he said. So that is why in this picture you find, see, Draupadi and Yudhishthira are on one side, and Krishna and Bhima are on the other side, and Arjuna has to decide. Here two people are saying, kill, kill. Other two are saying, don't kill, don't kill. And Krishna is telling Arjuna, you decide something which will satisfy both. You know what Arjuna did? You know, he cut off the jewel on the head of Ashwatthama, which is equal to worse than killing him and humiliating him. So, this is the point mentioned here. Aggression and dominance, which are masculine traits, should be balanced by harmony and sustenance, which are feminine traits. And the Pandavas had given sufficient role to Draupadi and Kunti also. In this way, I hurriedly finished this pastime, but this pastime very clearly says, even Lord Krishna being God does not serve a decision. He allows the devotees to think and express their opinions before he serves the decision. So this is a recap. It's almost time, only 1 minute left. Only one question I will take, 2 minutes left. Anybody? One question? Yes? ठीक है, बोलिए, हिंदी में बोलिए. विसृज्य वर्तते काम करना परामगत है. कार्य अकार्य व्यवस्थित हो
हार हसी. तो इस श्लोक, इन दोनों श्लोकों का तात्पर्य यह है कि जिस कर्म को शास्त्रीय विधि से निर्धारित किया गया है वो कर्म है, और जिस जो शास्त्रीय विधि से विसंगत है अथवा अयुक्ति संगत है उसे अकर्म कहते हैं. फिर प्रश्न रहा कि विकर्म क्या है.
हाँ, राइट राइट राइट. एक्चुअली विकर्म का मतलब है धर्म को तोड़ना, उसको विकर्म बोला गया है. भगवद गीता में अकर्म शब्द को भगवान दो मतलब से यूज करते हैं. एक शब्द है अकर्म का मतलब क्या है, जो व्यक्ति लापरवाही होकर काम नहीं करता उसको अकर्म बोला गया है, और दूसरा अकर्म भगवान इस्तेमाल करते हैं जो दिव्य कर्म है उसको भी अकर्म बोलते हैं, क्योंकि दिव्य कर्म का गुण ऐसा है कि वो हमें बंधन में नहीं डालता, वो हमें मुक्त कराकर वैकुंठ भेजता है, इसलिए उसको भी अकर्म बोलते हैं. इस तरह भगवान अकर्म शब्द को दो अलग अलग मीनिंग से यूज करते हैं गीता में. ठीक है, ऑल राइट, थैंक यू.
एक बार प्लीज वो विकर्म क्या कहा था आपने, कर्म को तोड़कर.
विकर्म मीन्स नूनम प्रमात्त कुरुते विकर्म यदिन्द्रिय प्रीतय आपृणोति. ये भागवत में आता है श्लोक. विकर्म का मतलब है मांस खाना, जुआ खेलना, अवैध स्त्री संग, नशा, ये सब विकर्म बोला जाता है. ठीक है ना, हरे कृष्ण, थैंक यू. सो दिस इज द समरी, द राइट थिंग एट द राइट टाइम. श्रील प्रभुपाद की. सो आई एम वेरी सॉरी, आई कुडंट कीप अ ट्रैक ऑफ टाइम, आई रश थ्रू, बट आई वुड से द टेक होम मैसेज फॉर यू, रिमेंबर दीज थ्री थिंग्स. वी शुड कीप अवर कमिटमेंट्स एंड वी शुड सी द वर्ल्ड विथ अबंडेंस मेंटेलिटी. And we should have the maturity to balance between boldness and sensitivity. Besides these three things, all our actions should be conducted in alignment with the orders of the Lord as taught in Gita Bhagavad. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. It's an amazing class and very lot of things to learn and really apply in our life. So we really want to thank His Grace Radhesham Prabhu from bottom of our heart by loudly chanting three times. We pray to the Lordship Shri Radha Gopinath and Srila Prabhupada that we keep getting His association. So let us chant again three times. Hari Bol. Thank you, Prabhuji.